Hi, everyone, and welcome to Las Musas Podcast. My name is Mia Garcia, and I am one of the authors of the current anthology, Our Shadows Have Claws, as well as the Resolutions and Even If the Skies Pass. Today, on this very special episode of Halloween Spooky Reads, I am joined by Ana Siqueira, Ann Davila Cardinal, and Aisha Perez Prado. So I'm going to hand it off to these wonderful authors to introduce themselves so we can kick it off and start talking about some spooky reads. First, I have Anne. Please introduce yourself.
Great. So I'm Anne Davila Cardinal, and I write a lot of horror, primarily young adult. And magical realist, Puerto Rican magical realist novel, The Storyteller's Death, came out yesterday. Yeah, it was very exciting. But in January, I have a book called Breakup from Hell coming out from HarperCollins, and it's a horror rom-com featuring a Puerto Rican main character. So very excited about it.
Awesome. Anna, can you tell us a little bit about your books?
Okay, I write picture books, and my debut book was Bella's Recipe for Success from Beaming Books, illustrated by Geraldine Rodriguez, and the book that just came out August 23rd, and it's kind of a Halloween book. I'll tell more about it later, but it's called If Your Babysitter is a Bruja. It's from Simon Kitts, illustrated by Irina Freitas, and it is a book about a girl who thinks her babysitter might be a bruja, and she might not be. The readers, they have to decide themselves. And another book is coming in January called Abuela's Super Kappa. So I'm very excited to be here and talking about Halloween.
Awesome. Thank you. Aisha, can you tell us a little bit about your upcoming debuts?
Yes. Hi, I'm Aisha Perez Prado, and my upcoming debut picture book is called City Feet. And it's about like diversity in the city told from the point of view of a toddler and a stroller who only sees feet and paws and legs. So you only see people from the waist down. I'm also the illustrator. And in terms of Halloween, which has always been my favorite holiday, I have a story coming out in The Haunted States of America, which is the SCBWI anthology. And my story represents Florida, and it's called Spanish Moss.
Is that a picture book, or is that like just a short story?
An anthology that SCBWI is putting out with, I'm going to say the wrong publisher, but so I'm not going to say the publisher. It's one of the publishers that begins with an H, but I'm not sure which one. And they for middle grade stories from each state. They picked one from each state. It was like sort of a competition, and you sent in your story, and it was supposed to be haunted and based on a folk tale or a legend from your state.
One did you pick?
I picked Florida, and it's about Spanish moss and where it came from. It's really creepy. It's a very creepy story.
I didn't know anything about Spanish moss.
You have to read the story now.
You have to send to me, Aisha, because I'm writing a chapter book that has some Spanish moss in it, but I didn't know it had something creepy about it. So
yeah,
I need to know.
But then you put your own twist on it, you know, so you don't retell the tale exactly the way it's written, but you put your own twist on it. So, you know, are like bilingual, and they throw in some Spanish, and you know, there's all kinds of things going on, but the actual story is creepy, and my story is perhaps creepier. I'll send it to you so you can read it.
Yeah, for sure.
Now I am intrigued and nervous. Like,
seriously, I hiked by over moss the other day. I'm like, okay.
That's some great marketing. We're all gonna come out of here terrified of walking near Spanish moss, and we don't even know why. All right, so spooky season, spooky books. October and Halloween is one of my favorite seasons, and I would love to start with any spooky or Halloween themed picture books, not even Halloween themes, but would find a home in this season, not necessarily have to be about Halloween. And Anna, I think you have some to recommend to us. Can you kick us off?
Well, first I'll recommend mine. If your babysitter is a bruja, it's not really a Halloween. And when I started writing this story, it was nothing about Halloween. It is based on a story that happened to me and my daughter. She thought I was a bruja. She started saying that I was not her mom just because I got upset at her and I was firm with her. She started saying, no, you're not my mom. You're a witch. I want my mom back. So the story is based on that. But then when I started writing the story, I said, okay, let's change the mom to a babysitter. And, you know, end up being Halloween. It was nothing related to Halloween, but because witch, we always associate with Halloween, end up being, if it's almost Halloween, starts like it's almost Halloween. And if your babysitter comes cackling like a crow and flying on a broom and wearing a sombrero, she might be a bruja. So the girl goes through all her imagination, and it might be imagination, might be not. You're going to have to decide on that. But the illustrations for Irena Freitas makes the story seem like we really dive into the main character's imagination, and it's told in second point of view. So you travel with her through all the things that she gets, like dunked in a cauldron filled with cocodrilos, and she got attacked by black cats. She got dropped in the twisted torre. So a lot of things gonna happen to that girl, but in the end they're gonna be best friends, and the girl's gonna be training to be a bruja too. So she's gonna be a bruja in training. So I think it's really cute and sweet, you know, and I put a lot of Spanish words. I put Spanish lullabies and a lot of the Spanish culture, even though I'm Brazilian, but my family's Cuban, Brazilian, American. You're all mixed. So I have a mix of all the cultures inside me. I speak three languages at the same time all the time. So the book is very, I try to put a lot of the culture. But I hope people read the book also when it's not Halloween. So that's even a question I had. How do we make people read books? Because you have like books with zombies, like one of the books that I really love, Zombies Don't Eat Veggies, for Jorge and Megan Lacerda. That is about a book that a boy who like the zombie likes to eat veggies, and the parents only like to eat brains and you know, finger food that's real finger and things like that. And this is, it's really not just a Halloween book, because it is about a boy who wants, you know, to eat veggies, and the parents don't accept him, and then the parents end up accepting him the way he is. So it is a really cute book to read at any time. But I don't know how we can show people that those books, even though they have witches and zombies, and you can read at any time of the year because they're still relevant. So those are the first two books that I'm going to talk about. I have many other ones, but if anybody else has other books, let's go over that, and then I'll tell my other ones that I have.
I have a picture book, one picture book suggestion, and I agree, Anna, about the reading it year-round. As a horror writer, I like to read scary books year-round, and I especially love going to like Marshall's and TJ Maxx this time of year, because I buy things for my whole year when people are just buying things for Halloween. But the thing is that it's, and kids particularly like to be scared. It makes them feel better about the things they're really afraid of, you know, to know that there's, put them in perspective. So I agree, but I particularly enjoy the Chupacabra Ate the Candelabra. And it's, it's written by Ana Aranda. And it's somebody I had the pleasure of meeting, and it's just the illustrations are just fabulous. It's sort of a humorous goats who are afraid of being eaten by a chupacabra, and they bring a candelabra, and it's just the rhymes and the language is a lot of fun. It's fun to read and fun to for the kids as well.
I'm gonna chime in and say that I also love Zombies Don't Eat Veggies, because it's just the illustrations by Jorge Lacerda are really cute. And the premise of the story, it's really about belonging and like acceptance. And it has a lot of like play with Spanish words that are integrated in. And it's just a fun book, yeah, for Halloween or year round. But I also, in like the picture book world. I really like Moldilocks and the Three Scares, which is written by Lynn Marie, which is, you know, a version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, but with Moldilocks. And that's another story that turns into like an adoption acceptance story. And it's really fun and has lots of puns. And the illustrator, I can't remember the name of the illustrator, but they're also really cute illustrations.
Yeah. I agree that you can read books all year round. I was going to say, Anna, that when you were talking about that you hoped your book would be picked up even after the spooky season, there was this book that my nieces and nephews made me read over and over again, eventually fell apart because we had read it so often. And it was Creepy Carrots by Aaron Reynolds and Peter Brown. And it was just, they loved it. I mean, I did the voices and the creepy carrot and all of the images of the noir Frankenstein carrots were hilarious, and they loved them. So I think kids just, I don't think they have a sense of seasons and will just like read anything regardless.
You know, there's the same author did Creepy Underwear now.
The Creepy Underwear has, yeah, it has been for a while. Now he got a Creepy Crayons, I think. Yeah, Creepy Crayons is the new one who came. And Creepy Underwear, Creepy Underwear is my favorite. I like Creepy Underwear better than the Creepy Crayon, the Creepy Carrots. I like both, but Creepy Underwear is super funny. I think it was the first one, maybe. And it's funny, Anne, that you talk about Anna Arenda, because I have another book of her. I think she really likes writing Halloween books and stuff. It's called Our Day of the Dead Celebration. It is super cute. It shows all the traditions of Day of the Dead and show all the connection that the kids have with each relative. So one kid, for example, likes to write like her aunt, like their dead, right? The dead loved ones. One likes to travel, one likes to bake. So they are showing all the traditions, but also showing all the connection that they have with their loved ones and how they honor that those connections, the stories and the memories. And then at the end, the abuela will tell even more. So it is so cute. And it's and the illustrations are so cute. So I really like that one too. Another one that is super cute, it's a I think it's a board book, and it's called Little Monster, What Panduce Do You Want? And it's bilingual. So they say in English and then Spanish. So they will say, for example, would you like a sugary concha? ¿Quieres una concha azucarada? And then each monster will come and say, almost always, but not tonight. And then they show different sweet things, different dulces that they eat during Day of the Dead. And it's also, I think, Ana Esparza is the author and illustrator too. So it's really also super cute.
Wonderful. I just had a thought of another one, but I don't know if it would be considered spooky, but do you know how really good horror has a sort of a through line that can be tapped to society and most of the time to the age for which or the years which it's part of. I don't know if you've heard of the book. It's one of my favorites. I honestly don't know that much about it, about the author, because I learned about it in my MFA program. Get to the point, Mia. It's called Not Now, Bernard. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's a very short book, and it's about this little boy who keeps trying to get his parents' attention because there is a monster in his room that wants to eat him. And his parents, he chimes, is like, not now, Bernard. And he's like, but there's a monster in my bedroom. And he's like, not now, Bernard, until eventually, spoiler, the monster eats him. And then the monster goes to the parents to try to get, like, to try to then attack the parents. And they're like, not now, Bernard. And so it ends in this point, the monster's like looking at the reader, like, what? Like,
yeah, just like parents, we are like that. No, you don't even pay attention sometimes. I know.
I'm trying to remember, there was one about El Cucuy that's a picture book, and I think Linda Camacho, it was one of her clients. And
yes, it's Donna Barbaguera's El Cucuy is Scared Too.
Okay, that's it.
Yes,
and that's a very sweet book.
And I I wrote about El Cuco, you know, in Puerto Rico, he's called El Cuco in Five Midnights. And so I love reading those stories. And I should say that Ana Aranda is the illustrator on the Chupacabra one. I thought she wrote it too, but.
Oh, she's not the writer and the illustrator? No.
Just the illustrator.
Yeah, I had the cocoa from Donna Higuera. Donna Higuera was our critique partner, mine and Aisha. She was our critique partner for a while. And the cocoa is really cute. I really like the way that the cocoa is so scared and he's so cute. He's just like a little kid, even though he's a cocoa, but he's so sweet and cute. So this is another book that you can read year-round, right? Another one that comes, like every time that I'm looking at my book, how it's doing, I see this book, so I got it, and it's really cute too. It's Layla, the Perfect Witch by Flavia Drago, she's from Mexico. She's also the author of Gustavo the Shy Ghost.
I love that one.
Yeah. So this Layla is really, she's also the author illustrator. So the illustrations are really cute. And she was trying to make a recipe and of a cake. So it's really fun. And it's a little bit similar to the theme of My Bella's Recipe for Success, because My Bella, she's trying to bake and she makes a lot of mistakes and she's like, oh, I'm not good at anything. So that Layla is also like, oh, she's perfect in everything. But when she tries to bake the cake, she makes a mess. She doesn't win the competition. But in the end, you know, of course, she's going to be happy at eating the cake. So it's really fun. And she's also an oral illustrator. So this is another one that I really enjoy reading. And those are basically my Halloween books for a picture book, because I basically read picture books. Sometimes I read chapter books. So I read a lot of The Black Lagoon, Goosebumps, The Bailey Kids, mm-hmm. and Witches, right? I saw the movie, I read the book. But yeah, those are my main suggestions for picture books.
Well, I think we can't go wrong with any of those suggestions. How about books let's go for like the middle grade age, that's 8 to 12. Do y'all have any recommendations for kids? I feel like this is also the age of getting into the spooky reads and maybe like finding your place in the mysteries and stuff like that.
I mean, definitely Ghost Squad, Claribel Ortega. And the second one just came out as well.
The Witchlings.
Yeah, and that was a New York Times bestseller. Mm. You know, very exciting for her. Middle grade, I'm like, really? I don't know a lot of Latine ones. So I'm curious to hear what people would suggest.
Yeah, that is my thing too. I have some, as I said, Goosebumps, Bailey Kids. They were not Latinos. I read like for inspiration because I'm trying to write a chapter book with a cuca. But a cuca for us in Brazil has nothing to do with the cucuy. A cuca in Brazil is an alligator. She's kind of a witch, but she's an alligator. The cucuy really is el bicho papão. So yeah, it's a different thing. So I'm trying to write that. So I read all those books, but I didn't find that many Latino either. We have the...
I was going to say it's on my list, Lakin's book. Lakin's book just came out.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I read her book. I did a review. I really, really enjoyed it.
It was an excellent book. And I like that I have some suggestions, and they are all sort of in that ghost mystery duo that, of course, if you have ghosts, you sort of have to figure out where they're coming from and what they're doing. Lakin's book, Omega Morales and The Legend of La Lechuza, or as my niece said, The Lettuce, because she kept getting confused with lechuza and lechuga. So that's how that reading went. but I also liked it. It was a really good book, and Lakin does a great job of amping the mystery and making it creepy enough, but I think not so creepy that kids will be super scared. Also agree with Anne on Ghost Squad. I think Ghost Squad's a little bit scarier than the Witchlings, but they both have that really good mystery angle. And I believe Ghost Squad is set in Florida, if I'm not mistaken, which also adds a little bit of that nice like Spanish moss mystery, bringing back the Spanish moss. And I actually, this one is not Latine, but I really liked how they wove the mystery into history. It's called Just South of Home by Karen Strong, and it's a middle grade that weaves the not so pleasant history of a town with ghosts. And when I think this is Karen's debut, because Karen's written multiple books by now, and it just blew me out of the water. And it was scary and spooky, and also dealt with like a lot of like serious issues as well. So I would recommend those.
Yeah, I was particularly struck by this is a, you know, it's a writer of color, Daka Herman, the Hide and Seeker. It is honestly one of the scariest books I've read. Oh. And it just really, it takes a children's game that's familiar to everybody and makes it incredibly dark. And the thing about middle grade horror that I really like is that that's when kids realize that there's dangers outside of themselves and their parents aren't, you know, going to live forever and can't protect them from everything. And so the fear is very pure. And I find that really interesting to read in terms of middle grade horror. And Hide and Seeker is quite effective, very diverse cast of characters, really, really well written. So that's one I was really impressed with.
Yeah, I think you're so right about the middle grade years. Those are exceptional years because of all the changes and the way that kids have a lot of maturity to be able to imagine things, including horrible things, you know, in a way that they weren't able to before. And yet they don't have that cynicism maybe of the later years where they could dismiss magic more easily, I think. So yeah, I did my research on middle grade. So that was when I got my doctorate, it was with middle grade kids, that my ethnography. And I love those years. That I would recommend the books, and they're not really Halloween, but they are kind of scary. The David Bowles series. Do you know the Garza twins? If they're shape shifting, and there's a lot of like scary stuff that happens, and it includes like, you know, elements like immigration and that kind of thing. So it's
what is
like,
the name of that?
There's this whole series. It's called the Garza twins series.
Oh, no, I didn't know that one. I know the 13th Street. Yeah. It's also good.
Too. Yeah. I know the guy better because when I interviewed him, I was interviewing him about that. But and then also we have, you know, the Total Eclipse of Nestor Lopez, Adriana.
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
that's another good one. It's not exactly Halloween, but, you know, there's that scariness, that creepy factor. And I think it's really engaging for kids that age.
There is another one too, the unicorn. I always remember that Emma, I cannot say people's name, Otegai? Is that how you say
Otegi.
It? Otegi, Emma Otegi. And she wrote The Madre de Aguas of Cuba, but it's a whole series called The Unicorn Rescue Society. And then I guess they invite authors to help writing the story. Mm-hmm. So one was from Emma, and I read that one, and it was it's very scary too. It's not Halloween, but there's always different monsters according to the country that they choose. So it's very interesting. The Unicorn Rescue Society is the name of the series.
That reminds me that Zoraida Cordova has the Valentina Salazar Monster Hunter, I believe, series that just started over the summer. So I think the first book is out, and I think there are more books on the way. And I feel like it's more adventure monsters rather than spooky, but I think there's some spooky elements to it as well. And that's also middle grade, that middle grade sweet spot. It's awesome. So how about now that we've gotten, you know, our first taste of horror in this youth, we're going into, you know, becoming teenagers, exploring more and, what would you recommend for our young adult audiences, or even, you know, from young adult all the way to adult? Because, you know, those fluctuate. Sometimes we read older, and some of us read, still read young adult. Of course, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what would you recommend?
Picture book. That's what I read.
I just finished the Daughter of Dr. Moreau by Silvia Morena, mm-hmm. Moreno Garcia. And I have to say, Mexican Gothic is one of my favorite horror novels of the last 10 years. It has this anti-colonialist sort of vibe that I mean, it's colonialism as fungus. You don't get any better than that. The Daughter of Dr. Moreau takes, and it is considered adult, but it really could be, there's nothing, I think it could be read by teens. And it is, you know, it takes that old story, that movie that I grew up with, The Island of Dr. Moreau, and sort of brings it sort of to the next step. And so it's really, really interesting. And let me see, Our Shadows Have Claws, The Hacienda.
I have that. I haven't read it yet. It's on my list.
It has like a traditional horror vibe.
Is it also gothic? Is it in the same way that I like Mexican, yes, gothic? It has the house and, you know, all of that.
It is. And it's after the Mexican independence, the War of Independence. And so it's really, and that's by Isabel Cañas. And I really enjoyed it. It has a very, I wrote a review of it. I said something about, you know, it has, you know, a massively haunted house and a hot priest. And so it really has everything you want.
But you sold so many copies, exactly, of that book with that review alone.
It's a wonderful book. And I really enjoyed Cemetery Boys, mm-hmm, Aidan Thomas. And that is, I think it's diverse. You know, it has queer representation and the characters are so likable. It has humor. And the thing is, like Aidan, it's sort of a braided of cultures. You know, it, mm-hmm, has Mexican, it has Puerto Rican. It has, you know, it's really, I really enjoyed it. And I particularly think and they did a great job with the audiobook as well. So those are my favorites.
That's wonderful. Can you talk a little bit, since you brought up Our Shadows Have Claws, and I'm also in Our Shadows Have Claws.
Yay.
And I think people should read Our Shadows Have Claws.
Great.
This, yes, Latin horror anthology or monster anthology. Can you talk a little bit about your short story in the anthology? Because you and I have both short stories set in Puerto Rico.
Sure. I mean, mine is dark, man. I mean, they sent me the, mm-hmm, art for it. I was like, oh my God, what have I done? but it's about, you know, it is about the myth of desmembrados. There's a legend in Lajas, Puerto Rico, where the body, you know, dismembered body parts that had died on the highway, people have died on the highway, walk the streets, or crawl the streets at night. And so I sort of reinterpreted it. I write a lot about children who's, my father died when I was very young, and I know what it's like to grow up sort of with grief as part of your family, you know? And so, mm-hmm, I wanted to explore that with this character and the idea that you can't depend on all the adults around you. And the one person she could depend on had passes before the book begins, her abuela. And so it's about sort of her being able to move on from that and to find life beyond, you know, now that she's the adult in the room. But it's a very creepy myth, and I found it fascinating. And I mean, Lajas is the one place that has a airport for UFOs, for UFOs. And I think Lajas,
gotta be prepared.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed writing that. And the book, you know, just the different kinds of stories in that book that are all based on legends is so, mm-hmm, so wonderful.
I'm so looking forward to that book. I found out about it through TikTok.
Oh, good. Wait, was it Amparo's TikTok?
Yes, I follow her. Yeah. Because of her talking about this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, this sounds, I love the title too. It's amazing.
Mia, tell us about your story.
So I cheated a little bit because mine's based off a saying that is said on the island when it's dark out. You can say, está más oscuro que la boca de un lobo, o la boca, mm-hmm, del lobo. And so I took that as, what if this, you know, chunk of darkness was something real, was something palpable, something that had, was living and breathing, and we didn't know, you know, if it was good or bad, and sort of sort of went from there. My original version of thought in my head of the story was that it was a romance. But then I sort of, okay, what if I take that and just, you don't know what this relationship is, and sort of removed certain elements and made it more ambiguous and made it more that feeling of being watched. And then that's what the story became. So it's this relationship between two individuals that you don't really know what's happening. In the more, I think, tradition of atmospheric tension and horror than like straight up gore or anything that's like violent, I would say. So if mine's more spooky, like something is watching you from somewhere and you don't quite know what it is.
Very spooky.
It certainly is.
I should not read this story because I'm so afraid of the dark. So if I read
Oh, I am too.
I don't know.
But this is I read all of the stories and I feel like it's a solid anthology. Of the stories really hit and they do a good job. They're all bringing in different elements and working with them within different subgenres of horror that work so well together, plus the illustrations, which knock it out of the park.
Who was the illustrator?
Yeah. Ricardo Lopez Ortiz did a great job. He does a lot of comic book illustration and covers and all that stuff. So it's very graphic style and stylized.
I have to get that book. When did it come out?
Came out September 6th. Was it the 6th?
Oh, okay.
I think so. It came out early last month. So it's been out in perfect time for spooky season.
Yeah.
What I love about anthologies is you can just read that short story and you move on to the next one. It's all like beautifully encapsulated in chapters.
Can I give a little synopsis of Breakup from Hell?
Yes, please do.
So that comes out January 3rd from HarperCollins. And there's a girl in Micah who Miguela, who grows up in Stowe, Vermont. It's the first one I've written based in Stowe. Most of my books are based in Puerto Rico. And she, she's kind of bored and wanting to get out, and a very handsome boy comes to town, and he's interested in her, and she finds that he's not who he says he is. He's the son of Satan. And when she breaks up with him, he brings on the apocalypse. She finds out, what was that?
That's an extreme reaction he's having to the breakup. Yeah.
Well, teenagers, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Normal.
But she finds out about her own heritage of her Puerto Rican family. And I had such a good time with this book. And I'm really excited. And I really, I'm very happy to be able to have a Puerto Rican main character in something, you know, that's fairly mainstream. It has a lot of Catholic sort of legends and history in it too, which was fun to bring that in. So. Anyway, I'm excited.
Aisha, did you have anything that you wanted to recommend?
Well, yeah. First, I have to know when it's coming out because
January 3rd.
Okay, January. Well, I'm going to recommend an Argentine writer. I'm from Argentina. Her name is Samantha Schweblin. Have you guys read any of her work?
Yes.
Oh, creepy is an understatement. It's I love her stuff. And like Little Eyes, I read them in Spanish, but they're in English as well. And Fever Dream are two. Yeah. I don't know if I call it YA. I guess it's adult actually, but it feels like it's like YA to adult. But that really creepy. She's such a good writer, I think. And also I will recommend Romina Garber. I'm going for the Argentine section.
Yes.
I guess, and her Lobizona and Cazadora books, also not specifically Halloween, but having a lot of scary elements and creepy elements and magic and all of that fun stuff that goes with the seasons.
I thought you were going to bring up another Argentine author, Agustina Basterica. Basterica, I think, who wrote Tender is the Flesh, because that was everywhere.
Oh, my
God. I haven't read it. I gotta say I haven't read it, so don't come for me. But it's on my October reading list.
Aisha, okay, you read it?
I will definitely read it. What's the name of the author?
Agustina. Uh-huh. And then last name is Basterica. B-A-Z-T-E-R-R-I-C-A. So I'm probably mispronouncing the last name.
I need to give you guys a heads up.
A warning, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it is one of the most most disturbing thing I've ever read in my life. And I've read a lot of disturbing things. I felt sick to my stomach afterwards. And it is, it makes you, the thing that I love about it is it turns things on its head. And so you look at food and at things like that differently at the end.
So not for the young adult crowd. So just, no, it's, you know,
incredibly
warning.
Dark, incredibly dark, but beautifully written.
It was on my TBR because I'd seen it so often. I have the book, and so I was saving it for October.
You gotta let me know what you think.
Okay. I'll save little morsels of it. And I realize I said little morsels for a reason. Gosh. Let's see. Does anybody have any other recommendations? All right, and you already got Mexican Gothic, which was also on my list. So I will also recommend that one as well.
Zoraida's adult book too was gorgeous. I gotta get pull it up here.
The Inheritance of Orquídea Divina.
Thanks. Thank you. That is a gorgeous book.
And that does have its mystery element.
I would say, it could be like magical realism horror, but it definitely think falls in the, Zoraida has some beautiful, the Vicious Deep and all her YA books I think are great.
Labyrinth Lost series.
Yeah. Love them.
What is her last name?
Cordova.
And Daniel Jose Alder, he's in a more of a Star Wars, you know, most of his books lately seem to be about Star Wars, but Shadow Shaper was wonderful. That was from
That's true.
From 2015, but I thought that was a really excellent.
He also did some urban paranormal
books
early on as well.
And those are adult, and they're like really fun reads. They go by, you know, you can sort of inhale them. And I'm trying to come up with the individual titles. Oh, Midnight Taxi Tango was the first one.
Okay. Yeah, I remember reading that when it first came out. I was working at Penguin because Penguin published it, I believe. Yeah. Well, this is a really good list of books all the way from our early readers and picture books to our young adult and adult readers of horror and spooky reads. So if anybody else has any recommendations, shout them out now.
I forgot one for a picture book that I want to say it because I really love it.
Do it. Too.
A Costume for Charlie. The author C.K. Malone is not Latino, but the illustrator is Alejandra Barajas. I think she's from Mexico. And it's really cute. It's about a bigender, so it's a boy and a girl. It's from Bibbing Books, and he, she, they wants to find the perfect outfit for the Halloween, and end up being like being Red Riding Hood with vampire. So it could show both of his side and of she side. And it's really well done. And the illustrations are really beautiful. And what I like about the book, it is not about the bi-gender. It's about a kid looking for the perfect Halloween costume. So it's really a cute book that I also think is a good suggestion. Very well done. The illustrations are really, really beautiful too.
That's very cute. Costume that showcases both feminine and masculine halves of their identity. That's lovely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good way to close us off. And let me see. Let me find our wonderful group. Thank you so much for all of your suggestions and for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books. And be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also sign up for Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more, delivered straight to your inbox. Thank you for listening.